First Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 18. Paul said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I promise I will come back to that verse before I finish. The holidays are upon us. And for many people, the holidays are all about family and friends and gathering and food and football and basketball and laughter and grandkids and just great and wonderful times. But for many other people, the holidays aren't any of those things. For many people, the holidays are stressful and they're tense. And for many, the holidays are not something that they look forward to. I made reference last Sunday to a study. It's a recent study that had been done concerning stress. The study involved 2,000 people. 88% of them, now let me put a number on that, 1,760 of the 2,000 in this study said that the holidays were the most stressful time of year for them. So last Sunday, we talked about surviving the stress of the holidays. But we looked at that subject from just a very general standpoint of surviving holiday stress. And we looked at a passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, and we made 3 points. Surviving the stress of the holiday, worry about nothing, pray about everything, and think about the right thing. Now this morning, we're going to approach that same subject, surviving the stress of the holidays. But this morning, I want to put a much finer point on where it is this sermon is going to land. And that is surviving the stress of the holidays with our family. Now, let's be honest. Family can put some stress on you. So this morning, we're going to take a look at 2 things. First of all, we're going to take a look at 2 reasons why family can become so stressful on us during the holidays. And then the second thing we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some very practical things that we can do that will help us to cope or that will help us to survive the holidays in spite, sometimes, of our families. Now, I don't know your situation, so don't get mad at me when this is done. But you may want to fasten your seatbelt before we begin here. The first thing we want to look at are two reasons why the holidays can become so stressful when it involves our families. The first reason is this. Holidays can become stressful in the family because in many homes, someone is missing this year. There has been a funeral in the past year. Maybe it was a husband or a wife. Maybe it was a mother or father. Maybe it was a sibling or a son or a daughter or a grandparent. But this year is going to be different. Because this year, there is going to be an empty place at the table where somebody we love dearly used to sit every year. And this year, laughter is being traded for tears. And this year, joy is being traded for sadness. This year, stress is going to come upon us in a family way. Because in many of our homes, somebody is missing. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want you to understand what I'm telling you here. Instead of us going through the holidays, and instead of us simply mourning what it is that we don't have, we need to be thankful for what we still do have. And instead of us mourning who is gone, let us be thankful for who's still here. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that because, see, so-and-so is gone. And listen, I just don't have anything to be thankful for. Listen to me. You got memories. You got memories. Do you know what we have? We have love. And we have special joy of those memories of those who were once with us who are now gone. We have memories. The holidays, my brother's family, Deborah and I, and my dad would get together with my sister's family. Now, when you put my brother, my sister, and my father under the same roof, man, that's good times. 'Cause they were all nuts. I am still the good child. But they were crazy. Listen, I got memories nobody else has got. When we would have family gatherings at my father's house, and Deborah knows right now where this is going. When the family would all get together, my brother and all that tribe and my sister and all that tribe, and we'd all get together. We are in my father's house. We're in his house. And there's like 12, 15 of us. About 9 o'clock at night, he will walk out into the dining room in front of all of us with his pajamas on. With his silk pajamas on. My father spent more money on his pajamas than he did on his clothes. And he would stand there, we're in his house. And he would stand right there in front of all of us. Well, I tell you, I love all of you to death. And y'all can stay as long as you want to. But I'm going to bed, and the last one out, make sure that front door is locked. Ain't nobody got a memory like that, just me. Listen, you have memories. You have memories. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Listen, I'm not making light of your loss. Listen, I get it. You understand what I'm saying? My father's gone. My sister's gone. My brother's gone. The nieces and nephew I grew up with in the same house, they're all gone. I get this. I get this. But I'm telling you, in spite of all of it, in spite of all that we may have lost, listen to me, every one of us has much to be thankful for this holiday. We ought to be thankful this holiday for the truth of God's word. We ought to be thankful for it. Listen to me. It was the truth of this word that showed us Jesus. It's the truth of this word that dug us out of a pit. It's the truth of this word that led us to salvation. It's the truth of this word that now causes us to make wise choices and to live righteous lives, and we ought to all be thankful for that. We have much to be thankful for this holiday. Be thankful for the truth of God's word. Be thankful for answered prayer. Listen. God loves you enough to listen to you. Be thankful for that. When I bow my head and pray, God isn't like, him again. What could that man possibly want now? That's not God. That's not God. Listen. How many times have you prayed to God? How many times have you asked God to forgive you? How many times have you asked God to help you? How many times have you asked God to bless you? And the answer to all of the questions of how many is you can't keep count of it. But you know what God does? God hears, God answers, and we all ought to be thankful for that. I'm telling you, we've all got a lot to be, we got a lot to be thankful for this holiday. Be thankful for the truth of God's word. Be thankful for answered prayer. Brethren, be thankful that God walks with us through our troubles. Let me say something about trouble. Trouble's everywhere. Trouble's everywhere. But God walks with us. And God keeps us safe through all of it. You hearing this? In Psalm 23 and in verse 4, David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You think about some of the trouble that David walked through in his life. David encountered a lion and a bear. David encountered Goliath. David encountered King Saul. David encountered the Philistine army over and over and over again. David encountered the rebellion of his own son Absalom, who tried to take the kingdom from him, but God walked with David and God kept David safe through all the trouble that David had to walk through. Now you look at your life. Look at your life. We had trouble at home. We have trouble at work. We got trouble in the community. We got trouble in our own hearts. But God walks with us and God keeps us safe, and we ought to be thankful for that. Listen to me. Stress is real. Amen. And depending on what the family and where that family is at in their spiritual life, family can hang stress on you. Now, one reason for that stress in the family is because in many of the homes, somebody's gone. And that hurts. And that's hard. But we have much to be thankful for. Now, let me give you a second reason why families can bring great stress on us, especially in the holidays. And if this isn't you and yours, then just sit there and smile at me. But a lot of families can hang a lot of stress on you during the holidays. And there ain't no other way to say this, because a lot of families are incredibly dysfunctional. Now, I can repeat that if you didn't understand it. Home for the holidays is not a warm, fuzzy feeling for everybody. Oh, we quiet now. I believe I've come up on something here. There are some families that need a lot of forgiveness. And there are a lot of families that need to let go of the past so everybody can get on with the present. Now, here's where I'm going. You are a Christian. Amen. You love the Lord. Amen. God is the most important thing to you. Amen. You want to live right. You want to do right. And you want to be upright with God. But maybe that's not the feeling in your family. So you go home for the holidays. And all your family is there. I mean, they're all there. And you walk in there, you and Jesus. Now maybe within your family, there is a homosexual. And he's sitting there looking at you, grinning. And within your family, there you are. There is one who openly drinks. He wants everybody to get drunk with him on Christmas. We all getting drunk today. And within your family, there sits the family atheist. He don't believe in God. And every time he sees you, he comes at you and reminds you of how silly your Christianity is and how dumb you are for going to that church down there. And then there sits the member of the family who only wants to talk about politics. And wherever you come down, he comes down on the other side. Ah, Biden. Ah, Bush. Ah, Trump. Ah, Obama. Just wherever you at, he's going the other way and can't say nothing unless he's talking about politics. And then maybe within the family, they're the one, the cusser, we'll call him. He uses God's name more time than the preacher. And then right there by him is that family member who rarely showers. And when he does, soap is never introduced to the situation. And everybody, every family, you got that member who will come to the table and take his finger and stick his finger in the dip. He will then clean that finger off with his mouth and take that same finger and stick it right back in that dip again. And then that family member who can't keep a job. And then that family member who always asking you for money. Well, I'm a little short here. And he tells you this. That's the same story he's told you the last five times that he has seen you. And there you are with Jesus. And you walking around in that house all day. Never again. Never again. Never again. And then you start talking to God. How in the world did I end up with such a messed up family? But I want you to think about something. Maybe God put you right there so that there would be at least one light in all that darkness. maybe God put you right there because there's one person in that house who would actually like to find a better way to live. And you're the one he can or she can look at. Listen, we're talking about surviving the stress for the holidays, the family edition of it. Because I'm telling you, they can put stress on you. They can put stress on you. Now, here's the second thing we want to look at. We want to look now at how do we go about coping with the stress that family, holiday, work, everybody and everything else puts on us. Now, let me share with you four things. You need to write these down. Write these down. This will work all year round. Let me give you four things that will help you, though, as you're dealing with stress to get yourself through the holidays. Number one, don't walk in to the house with what I'm going to call a pit bull mentality. Don't do that. Well, you know what? This year I'm gonna straighten them out. I can't tell you how bad an idea that is. I'm gonna straighten them out. I'm gonna fix them. Let me tell you from experience about fixing your family. Number one, some of them don't want fixed. And number two, some of them can't be fixed. Did you hear what I said? So don't do that. Oh, I'm just gonna tell everybody. Oh, no, don't do that. So don't go in there with this pit bull mentality. Number two, pray. I'm talking about pray as soon as you hear you're going. Pray while you're on the way. And pray as you're walking up the steps. Pray. Now, let me tell you something. Here's what you need to remember about prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. So here's what you need to understand about prayer. Number one, God hears the prayers of the righteous. Now, here's the second thing you need to remember. James chapter 5 and verse 16. The prayer of the righteous accomplishes much. So God hears the prayers of the righteous. The prayers of the righteous accomplish much. And here's the other one. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it to him in abundance. Listen to me. God hears the prayers of the righteous. The prayers of the righteous accomplish much. So pray to God, Lord, give me the wisdom to be what I need to be so that I can be the most help to my family while I'm here. Pray. Number three, stand your ground if you need to. But listen, do it with kindness. Do it with kindness. Now, everybody's got those relatives. I had them. Everybody's got them. Who they always want to bait you and get you into something with them. All of them. Just an argument. Just anything. Now, listen to me. Listen. Stand your ground if you need to. But listen. you don't have to attend every argument you get invited to. Look, is that really the hill you want to die on? Just stand your ground if you need to. That's all. But if you do, just be kind. And number four, and we need this one. Don't walk in there with an I'm better than you attitude. Now, sometimes we can be guilty of that. Well, I'm a Christian. They ain't a Christian. Be careful. Or you be putting on the phylacteries with the rest of them Pharisees. Don't go in there with an I'm better than you attitude. Because I'm going to tell you something. They can sense that. And if they sense that attitude, what's going to happen in that house that day is an episode of National Geographic is going to break out. It's the episode where all the lions surround the antelope. You the antelope. And they're going to get you bones and all. So don't go in there like that. Don't do that. Now, let me show you something. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, and I'm going to show you something in that verse that's going to help. Paul says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, nowhere does the Bible say be thankful for everything. And I knew you'd look at me like that. Nowhere does the Bible say be thankful for everything. There are things you should not be thankful for. My mother died when I was 12. I'm not thankful for that. A young man went into Oxford High School and started opening fire. I'm not thankful for that. There are things you should not be thankful for. You say, well, how can you say that? That verse right there says we should be thankful for everything. That verse does not say that. It does not say that. That verse says in everything, give thanks, not for everything. There's a big difference in the word in and the word for. The verse says in every circumstance, give thanks. Here's what Paul is teaching. Even four circumstances you're not thankful for, in times of great stress, in times of trial, in times of sorrow, even four circumstances you're not thankful for, in that circumstance, you look for the silver lining. And in that circumstance, maybe you can find a prospect that you can help and work on. And in that circumstance, maybe you can maneuver around and actually bring some good from it. I'm not thankful for it, but I'm in the circumstance, so in the circumstance, I'm gonna see what I can do and what God will help me to do to bring about some good. Now, if you're around family or certain family members, and we all have them, listen, in that circumstance, find something. Now, with some of my relatives, you gotta look deep to find something. I mean, you digging at the center of the earth. Now, I know that's not way. You have no relatives like that. But I can talk about mine when I get ready. I mean, you gotta dig deep. But you know what? It's there somewhere. You know why I know it's there somewhere? Because that's what that verse says. So even when I find myself in a circumstance that I'm not thankful for, I'm still in it. I'm in it. I'm not thankful for it, but I'm in it. So while I'm in it, I'm going to find that silver lining, and God is going to help me pull it to the top. So look at this. Look at this. I mean this. With some of our family, and I'll talk about mine. With some of our family, my family, don't dread them. Don't dread them. Just look upon it as entering a mission field. Enter it as a mission field. Listen, I got great memories. I've lost a lot of folk, but I still got folk. I'm not going to dig a hole and mourn what I lost. I got great memories. I'm going to close by sharing to you the most precious memory that I have of my father. This is the most precious memory I have of him. It was in the East Side Central Church of Christ. Deborah and two or three of her friends were just real little. And they were running around the basement at the East Side Central building. Don't let that pious look fool you. There's some demon seed there. Listen. So Deborah, about this high, at two or three, they were running in the basement of the East Side Central building, just running around. And she told me. She said, your father stood at the top of the steps. And this will give you an insight into my father. He stood at the top of the steps at Eastside Central Holler for him. And they, all three, four of them, come right there at the bottom of the steps. And he said, what are you doing down there? Well, we playing. This is exactly what my father did. This is the most precious memory I have. He said, I will take my belt off and I'm coming down there. Terrified her. From that day, she's this tall. From that day to this day, Deborah has never run in a church building anyway. Anywhere. And she told me, she said, I was terrified. Your dad terrified me. My dad was born in 1906. My dad was of the school. Young folks ought to respect older folks and they ought to behave. And you didn't have to be his child for him to get a hold of you and tell you to behave. But she said, why, even months after, we get to playing, and she said, I'd tell them, oh, we shouldn't be running in the church building. We shouldn't run. We go out in the parking lot and run, but we shouldn't be running in the church building. That is my most precious memory. My father putting the fear of God in the woman that I would marry all of those years ago. You know why I shared that with you? Because I got memories. I got memories. Look, I'm not digging a hole and crawling in there. No. And I'm going to tell you something. Anybody you lost, they don't want you doing that. They don't want you doing that. Now, when I'm gone, you can put me right here. That's fine. Come up. Cry. I do want lots of tears. But when you walk away, it's over. Be happy then. Be happy. You understand? It's a tough time of year. It's a tough time of year. But you know what God's going to do? He's going to walk us through this just like he's walked with us all of our lives. Don't worry about it. Pray about it and get your mind on the right thing. This morning, if you're here and not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. If you're here, if you've lost the way, you've walked away from God, you've let circumstances in your life upend your relationship to God, you need to make amends of that. Do what you have to do to leave here with salvation in your breast. Do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.